listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch,
On the Couch,
with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Officially on the couch, as you always are at this time, live Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, from the beautiful Hollywood studios of LATalkRadio.com, the most listened to talk radio station on the internet. This is your friendly psychologist, as I always say, Dr. Michelle. Welcome to the show.
Got you on my mind.
And I want to thank my artists, Capital Suns, for always being my backup music. Kind of happy music. Suns called Spark. And that's what we're going to do today, is spark your interest, as we always do. I have a special guest who I will be talking to in moments. He's an author. He's a media consultant. He's got a cool book. Oh, I love this book, and we're going to check it out as well. So, if you want to call in on the show live, by the way, you may do so. And that number is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815, and that is the Los Angeles area code, by the way, folks, in case you're wondering. That's where we're located here. Also, you can find me, if you'd like, ask any questions about anything we're talking about. You can ask questions to my guest. You can write me questions you have, which I will be answering, which will pertain to my guest today and what we're talking about. Find me on my website at Dr. Michelle Therapy, Dr. Michelle Therapy at AOL.com. All right. And also, if you'd like to email me, it's DocMichelle@AOL.com. But you can find all that information in those links on my webpage here at LA Talk Radio so we can get started. Let's just rock and roll. My guest today is author and media consultant John Darren. And I have known him for many years. Actually, we started working together. I was 15. We used to work together at the Financial News Network on an investment consultation show. Wow! And that's cable television, when cable television was just really happening there. Hi, John!
How are you?
Oh, I'm great. God, you look terrific. It's so nice to see you.
Well, I feel terrific, and it's how you feel as much as how you look.
That's it, baby. Well, we've known each other so long.
So you were 15 way
back
then.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You were 16.
Yeah.
Right, I know.
Going on 17.
Yeah.
There's a song there.
I know. So John has always, you know, been a broadcaster, professional broadcaster, and he's been with the CBS Radio Networks for a long time. You may have heard him here in Los Angeles locally, many other networks, and now he is, as usual, a media consultant, as he has always been. And his company, by the way, is called Media Blend Coaches. We're also going to be talking about what he can help you with during this time of economic, you know, stress, emotional stress. What are we dealing with here? It's really difficult to cope, and since this is a psychologically oriented show, we're going to talk about how to cope with stress, and John's going to give you great tips on how you can manage yourself in this crazy economy. And also, he is a multi-talented guy. Besides being a financial expert, media consultant, owning Media Blend Coaches, he's an author, and he is a professional investigator of, well, UFOs, an alien phenomenon.
They're
may
out
I
there.
Say. I am so impressed with your stuff. I am holding in my hands The Roswell Conspiracy. This is his book, It's Not What You Think It Is.
Mm-mm.
It's Not What You Think It Is. And we're going to talk about people who are accused of being crazy because of things that they've experienced as well. And I can't wait to talk about that. But first of all, I want to, you know, we've got so much information to cram into almost an hour here on the show. So let's get started. So, John, hey, tell me, first of all, about Media Blend Coaches, your company. What you're doing to help folks out?
Well, when you reach an age, as I have, that you assume you know it all,
yeah.
and
yes.
nobody will no longer employ you, you
yes.
become a consultant.
There you go.
Then you offer to give your opinion to people. They pay you handsomely for it.
There you go.
They never use your advice, but that's okay, too.
So
Media Blend Coaches is a partnership with a lady friend of mine of long standing who was very accomplished with her own company called On the Scene Productions. They did satellite media tours. They did marketing campaigns for Nike, for Pepsi, did
wow.
a lot of the Super Bowl half times and things like that.
Hmm.
And she sold her company and approached me on going back into a side
yeah.
venture we'd had for years, which
yeah.
was consulting and helping train people to be in the media, to do speeches, to be
nice.
On television.
Yeah.
And as a second career, which was a natural for both of us since we've been in the media.
Yes.
So we formed Media Blend Coaches with the emphasis on social media, of course, the
yes.
new networking through the internet. And she's very, very savvy. I am not necessarily, but
I
thank
think
goodness
you are.
She is.
I
well,
think
we're all using
good.
It whether we realize it or not.
That's right. Exactly.
And it's interesting because this gave us a whole new venue, if you will, for our multiple experiences.
Yes.
And also paralleled the theme of the book and the screenplay my other partner and I wrote, which
yes.
we will talk about here, definitely.
That's the Roswell conspiracy.
Well, that's it.
I love that.
Yeah, exactly. And
that
we'll elaborate
so
on that because that is rooted in the concept that we may be coming so dependent upon all of the new technology.
Right.
That were it to be taken away from us, as such as when
yes.
BlackBerry shut down, as
right.
they do periodically and everything,
right.
we can't seem to function. Well,
right. Exactly.
As a teaser to the story,
okay. this
the theory
is
of
exciting.
This is
mm-hmm.
very simple.
Okay.
It's not about little green men and Roswell, but it's about if that Roswell flying saucer actually existed
mm-hmm.
in 1947. And if, as another author's book pretends,
mm-hmm.
much, if not all, of our new technology came from that flying saucer.
Oh, I love
and
it.
If, as our theory portends, that flying saucer was really a Trojan horse of sorts, a technological Trojan horse
wow.
sent by an alien culture to help us advance beyond World War II and into a more benign and benevolent society
yes.
as kind of a gift.
Yes.
And 75 years later, we ain't doing it.
That's right. Okay, all you listeners out there who are regulars, you're saying to yourself, okay, she's got herself a nut. This guy's a, you know what? No, I've known this guy for 30 years, at least. And he is an investigator. He's a scientist. He's a researcher. He has been in media. I'm telling you, this guy's the real deal.
Can't wait to meet this guy.
Oh,
that's me.
Oh, look in the mirror. I'm telling you. So if you have any questions, you can ask him anything you'd like. Hey, let's open it up. 323-203-0815. And my guest, of course, John Darren, media consultant, author, owner of the Media Blend Coaches Company. And we'll tell you how you can get turned on to that website and get more involved so you can learn how to be more media savvy out there and manage yourself as well with the economic issues that we're having
yeah,
in this particular
right
day.
Now. I might add yeah. very quickly that the inspiration for the book, which mm-hmm. kind of supports it a little bit, was helped along by a quote from a fellow named Albert Einstein,
yeah.
who once said, it is appallingly obvious that our technology has surpassed our capability for humanity. And he said that 25 or 30
yes.
years ago before his passing.
Mm-hmm.
That was the inspiration for what if? What
yes.
if we were to lose all of this and be mm-hmm. thrown mm-hmm. back? Kind of into the 19th century.
Right,
well,
right.
We had to sit on the porch and talk to each other.
That's
what
right, we did. What
yeah.
a concept.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, we will elaborate on that later, and
okay.
I would love to have people's input as to is this society, are some of the people in their universe becoming too dependent on
wow.
technology to
yeah,
the
yeah.
point that if you're not Twittering or texting, you're
mm-hmm.
not talking to anybody.
No, it's really true.
We'll deal with that.
So,
but
okay.
you talked about the economy,
yeah.
and I think that's a
yeah.
big, important issue. Obviously, my alma mater, KFWB Radio, has embraced a program by Dave Ramsey
mm-hmm.
and also a campaign by Susie Orman. And they've become,
right.
in my estimation, the new Tony Robbins.
No, they really have.
You know, motivation
really
but get you out of debt. And
economic
let you
gurus
your money.
Is,
and,
you know what they are.
It's a big issue because so many people are coping with unemployment.
Right.
With foreclosures, with the inability to handle money, the shortcomings.
Yep.
And I got involved with some nonprofits years ago here in California and also in Utah, where I now live up in Park City.
Mm-hmm.
There is a national concern called Jumpstart, and it is for education of young adults and specifically teenagers. And in Utah, we got a law passed that said high school seniors must take a course in financial literacy and must pass that course to graduate.
That's a great thing.
Been in effect in Utah for about 4 years.
Yeah.
Other states are now trying to get the same initiative going. There is a jump start here in California. They are looking at this and trying to get it going. But before they get the kids to handle their money, they're going to have to teach the guys and gals in Sacramento to do the same. So
well, you got that right.
There's the dilemma.
That's
there.
The first step. But it's true. What a wonderful service. So many.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the mom of a teen.
Mm-hmm.
He's really starting to finally learn about financial responsibility. But, boy, a lot of these kids, especially the locals in Los Angeles and California, so to speak, most of them want to become musicians or stars in some way, but they have no clue how to start it, do it, get it going. I encourage artistic expression, but let's get real and learn about finances.
Exactly.
What a great idea.
We've heard the horror stories of very talented people who have been led astray by managers and others and because they didn't know how to handle their money or didn't think they had to know. And it goes right down to young adults, of course, as well. Mm-hmm. I taught this class at a high school in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Because at that time, we couldn't find enough qualified teachers to teach it. Teachers themselves being stressed out economically.
Sure.
So I've been on top of this campaign. I've taken it to the university level. I teach this course to adults at a university in Utah. And my company, Media Blend Coaches, is offering this as an employee incentive. So employers can help their employees better manage the money, the theory being that the employees who are stressed out or moonlighting and you know, trying to be a barista at Starbucks at night probably aren't putting in as much quality time as they could on their primary job.
Exactly.
So that's my goal there, is to expand this in a way that employees can benefit from it, and we're working on that. I call it a financial boot camp. And it's going to deal with things like, what are the changes in the credit cards? Well, you better watch them. The credit card companies are rushing to get as much money as they can before the imposition of this credit card Bill of Rights in July, which, like the airline Bill of Rights, is going to have little, if any, impact on the benefit to the consumers.
Right.
The foreclosure problems, the incentive money. So we're dealing with that to try to help people really understand. And with all due respect to Susie Orman and Dave Ramsey, the big campaigns people like that are putting
on,
this is just simply an educational campaign that employers can afford, that employees can afford and benefit from. And
it's a great idea.
That others will do the same across the country because...
I think it's a wonderful idea and it will help folks
People
so
are stressed
much.
Out and it affects the family, as I'm sure you know in your practice. People... It comes down to, you know, I have another book that I haven't gotten published yet. I'm still working. In fact, I'm working with the university that for which I teach called Till Debts Do Us Part.
I love that
and
idea.
It's about the impact of money and finances on relationships, not just marriage, family relationships, business partners, all kinds of relationships, and it all comes down to, you know, show me the money.
Right. Love the play on words.
Exactly.
And you know, there's all these things coming out in the media that the gold digger nation, look out, you're going to get screwed, guys and girls, especially women who are making a lot of money now. It's, you know, but perfect. That's a really, I do know I am familiar with that book of yours because I've read it. And it's awesome. It's
of
really
course.
Good, by the way. But that will be coming out, too. You know, I just, as the economy worsens, I just wanted to give you some figures I was checking out this morning. You're talking about, you know, teaching at the university, trying to help people get a handle on what they can do and understand financing, what's going on in the country right now. First of all, most of the people who come in to see me have personal self-esteem and relationship issues. The big component now is, oh my God, I'm stressed out because of the economy. I don't know even how I'm going to make the mortgage payment. I'm actually going to do a short sale and live in an apartment.
Yep.
I'm moving in with my brothers.
Yep.
I'm, you know, that kind of thing. So 80% of Americans said in September, okay, this was a Gallup poll last September, the economy is a significant source of stress. And that is up from a 66% from the year before, which when it sucked. So the top stresses for Americans say money, 81%, the economy, 80%, work, 67%, and health, problems, you know.
Which are related.
Yes. Yeah. Affecting the family, 67%. And yes. This was the latest, according to surveys by the American Psychological Association. Mm-hmm. They're serious about these surveys.
Yeah, all intertwined.
So it really is. More people reported stress-related fatigue from this study in September of 2008 until the present. 53% versus 51 in 2007. Irritability and anger went up 40%. Lying awake at night went up 20%. I mean, this is what I hear all the time. So people's emotional, physical health is so much more vulnerable right now. It's about living. It's about trying to just survive. Basically,
so many families are either having to downsize or just as a precaution, watch their finances for the first time.
Right.
And we still live in a society where we are told we are supposed to have everything we see advertised, you know, an entitlement society, you know, mm-hmm. and the kids grow up in that environment.
Yes.
And so when you tell your kids for the first time, we may not be able to afford the cell phone for you.
Right.
The texting is out of control, but all my friends can do it.
Right.
You know, this
right.
just compounds this problem.
That's right. It really does, you know, and it's, you know, fitting in with everybody else. But I mean, what we're going to find is that people are, you know, the bankruptcy rate, filing bankruptcy, foreclosures is way up.
Utah
again.
Has the highest rate in the nation for bankruptcy consecutively over the past 10 years. One of the reasons we were able to get that initiative started there. And, And bankruptcy is not always the solution.
Yeah.
In fact, if I may, when I speak, I'm often introduced as, ladies and gentlemen, John Darren, experienced business and financial reporter, CBS,
yes.
CNBC, the Financial News Network, yada, 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 Bloomberg.
You Delta, are.
All of the things
Absolutely.
I've done.
That's right.
And then I step to the podium and say, that's all very nice, but the reason you really want to hear me is because at age 55, I was divorced, went bankrupt, and had my house foreclosed upon, and you don't want to be where I've been.
No.
Those are my qualifications
yeah,
for
there
talking
you go.
About it. I've had to come back from that, and I, of all people, should have known better.
Well,
but the emotions get involved.
Oh,
the
absolutely.
The relationships get involved.
Absolutely.
And these people, you know, I have to avoid that
right.
as quickly as they realize they might be in jeopardy. They're
right.
nervous about a job, even
right.
though it may be a career. Do they have the 6 to 9 months in reserve to live on, because that's the average time to get re-employed in this day and age?
Yep.
Are they in trouble with a foreclosure? Are they upside down at a house? Is it worthwhile hanging onto the house? Can they
right.
downsize?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may have adult children moving back. They may have parents moving in with them. They may be moving in with parents.
Right.
Not that generational living is a bad thing, but not under pressure.
No,
I mean, other societies...
Exactly.
always have 2 and 3 generations together, and that's a wonderful family environment.
Yeah.
But not under these kind of circumstances.
Exactly. And, of course, that causes a lot more stress
Absolutely.
For everyone else. And then you have tensions, issues within the family. If you have any unresolved issues, and here you are having to live with your parents again as a young adult.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. And or as a middle-aged adult, we're taking care of our parents who are still
yes.
lucky enough to be
yep.
alive, having them either move in with us or we're going to their house and moving in with them, and the whole family's together, and we're all stressed out. So
and
it's very unhealthy.
They've discovered they really hadn't prepared for their retirement.
Yeah.
You may not be prepared for retirement. Retirement may come along before you're ready for it.
Yeah.
And that's another area we should talk about is the progression of life. When, you know, when you turn 65, do you retire? Do you
right.
continue to work? Do you have to continue
right.
to work? Do you find
right.
an alternate career?
Yeah.
For quality of life, for health reasons, as well as financial reasons.
Yes. Speaking about which, I just wanted to point out that I have known you a really long time. And by the way, folks, if you just tuned in, you're listening to LA Talk Radio. We're the largest internet talk station in the world here. And my guest today is John Darren, and he is a University of Utah professor. He also has many things going on. His company is Media Blend Coaches. He's a media consultant, been in broadcasting for major networks as a reporter and anchor, for 30 years, can I say? And I knew you when you were going through this thing you were talking about as well, with the issues of the divorce situation and losing money. And you are a very successful man, and you've always done quite well. So, and you're a trusting guy, and I remember your ex. I met her and everything, but it was really literally a hurricane for you.
Hurricane Barbara, as I love
to
call her, with no animosity. You know.
well, you're a good guy. I think I'd have a little more animosity. So anyway, when let's just call it that. When Hurricane Barbara came into your life, no, truly, I mean, you managed it. You picked yourself up. You, instead of doing self-destructive things, you wrote a book about it. You wrote about it. You got out there. You started helping people in the media. It's you became a financial expert.
It was
you
cathartic.
Became an anchor. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. And the sharing part of it. I'm not afraid. When I would lecture, I would say, how many people here have been bankrupted? Nobody wanted to raise their arm.
Right.
And finally, I would raise mine.
Yeah.
And they would say, wait, the speaker is saying he went bankrupt. Let's hear his story.
I'm volunteering this thing. Yeah. Exactly.
We're all in this together, folks. This isn't a lecture. This is a sharing. You know.
That's exactly right. So what, and I know this is a huge general question, but what types of specific help do you give to your clients in terms of, and we touched on it a little bit, but, you know, taking a look at what's going on in your life right now financially, but what types of specific help do you give to your clients in terms of, oh, everything's falling apart right now. What can I do to just start from step one and look at my world?
What we are doing with the employee groups, going to employers, to human resources, and offering to speak to groups of 10 to 20 and multiples of that if necessary. I am on the board of and have been the chairman of the board of AAA Fair Credit Foundation, based in Salt Lake, a national credit counseling service.
Oh, that's
in
great.
In fact, that particular organization has just been appointed by the state of Utah to be the primary source for credit consulting
to
help debtor the bankruptcy rate up there.
Right.
They have a complete curriculum on how to handle your money. Everything from getting out of debt to Christmas shopping and how you handle that every year. And everything in between.
Yeah.
So using their curriculum and their guidelines, I talk to people about how do you handle your money, not that you may not be doing okay yourself, but what are you teaching your kids by default as the primary example, the primary teacher of finances? And what can you do to help others in your universe by example as well? And also the checklist. We do what we call a fiscal physical.
Good.
And that is a quick checklist of how much do you have in savings? Could you survive 3 to 6 months of unemployment? How about health and reserve? Can you meet your insurance may be, the deductibles? Can you meet the deductibles in time of crisis? Do you have enough insurance? And how far in debt are you? Are you managing your consumer debt? There is good debt. Your mortgage is good debt. Even a car loan is good debt because it's finite. You know, it's 5 years, it's X amount of money, et cetera. But credit card debt is a whole different animal that people don't understand. It is revolving debt. It's compounding debt. The basic example is a $10,000 credit card debt can take you longer to pay off than a $30,000, a $300,000 30-year mortgage.
Yes, absolutely.
At
24%, 27%. Are you kidding me?
People have no idea. And that debt is not deductible consumer debt. So we go after consumer debt and say, okay, if you have credit card debt, let's get it paid off, because that is virtually savings.
Oh, exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
But balancing all of it and not living beyond your means. What are your needs? What are your wants? Make a two-column list.
Yes. Yes.
You know, the needs are over here.
Right.
You've got to have these needs every month.
Right.
The wants are over here, the big screen TV, the iPod, the Xbox for the kids. Those are wants.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. Now, if the needs and the wants match up, great.
Exactly.
But people have to discern between those things. They can't just impulsively go out and spend to keep up with the Joneses or whatever the case may be. So it's a psychological overview of how money works. I've had people say, if you're so smart, John, how come you're not rich? And my answer to that is very simple.
I think you're rich.
I didn't learn how to handle my own money.
I've seen your ranch.
Until I was 60.
Right.
Whereas people at 30 and 40 need to start understanding the money may flow, and money flows like water.
Yeah.
And as long as it's coming in and going out, things are fine.
Yes.
But like a dam, you don't see it's drying up because it's still flowing until the water's gone. Most people and most businesses are bankrupt 3 to 6 months before they understand that they are bankrupt.
Yes.
So we begin
to
tell people, you've got to have this fiscal physical to understand where you are. What are your obligations? Can you get your kids into college? Are you saving for them? When I was teaching high school, one of the things I did was to ask these high school seniors, you're going to graduate. Are you going on to college next year?
Right.
About 3/4 of them said, yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. I said, how are you going to pay for it? Oh, our parents are paying for
uh-huh.
it. I says, your assignment is to come back to class tomorrow and tell me how your parents are going to pay for it.
Exactly.
And most of them did not have an answer. Yeah. They said their parents didn't know how they were going to pay for it.
Right. Right,
that was
exactly.
a real awakening.
Well, it's true. Oh, I mean, exactly. they really don't. They don't have a reality check on what's going on, and you know, I know that. You know, talking about the teens you teach and young adults and stuff, they're feeling the stress as well from their parents. I mean, they're getting it too, although they're not as educated. But mm-hmm. I mean, it's really trickling down.
Yeah,
so.
Parents are the prime examples, and
exactly.
they may not understand the pressure of their parents
right, are right.
because parents don't want to talk about
well, exactly.
the fact that we've been living beyond our means.
We have been,
as and, many people are.
And how do we cope with it? Well, just you know, you can get a physical with John and a AAA credit counseling. A company. Is there a website?
Yeah, it's faircredit.com or
right.
faircredit.org. O-R-G.
Okay, faircredit.org.
Faircredit.org
right.
is the everything you want to know about the nonprofit company that I work with.
Yes.
And also, there's information on my website, themediablendcoaches.com.
Yep.
And you can go there and see some collateral information.
Yep.
The president of Fair Credit did a research on the impact of the economy on mm-hmm. employee, the quality of the employee's work, if they're
right.
under stress, financial
right, right.
stress, the incentive to teach them how to handle their money, to make them better qualified employees,
yep.
and to preserve them, preserve their jobs. That information is all up there, and I encourage people to read it, whether they ever
yep.
need my services or not. They need the information. They need the awareness of what is going on.
Yep. Great. That's cool. Folks, if you just turned in on LA Talk Radio here, this is Dr. Michelle. You're on the couch with me, as you usually are at this time. And, you know, you're saying, what is a psychological program? Of course, people's emotional and physical health is more vulnerable. Given the high levels of stress in our country right now, you got to pay attention to what's happening around you. Refrain from getting caught up in the doom and gloom, because you'll just drag yourself down more.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my clients who come in to see me are experiencing depression and stress. They're on medications right now, which is okay if it helps. Take stock of your particular situation, what's causing you stress. Write it out, list it out. Reach out to family, friends, and trusted advisors, like my guest today, John Darren. You know, try to really get a handle on what's going on and everything. I'd love to talk to you about the Obama health care plan, but thumbs up or thumbs down on that from you. What do you think, John? Just a quickie.
Well, I have not read it. I'm not sure
who has?
That many of our representatives have read it. For
right.
that matter, it's become a political pawn,
right.
Whether you agree with it or not. There's no question something has to be done to change the environment because
mm-hmm.
of the cost of health care and ensure the availability, not mandatory, but the availability
right.
for everybody so that everybody can be protected.
I agree.
I'm not sure that this is the plan, but at least something is getting started.
Right, exactly.
If it wasn't so political, if it was just an incentive,
an
initiative to get changes started,
it
remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Something will come out of this that will foment a series of changes at the level of the insurance companies, the providers, and everybody else. Because we know there's a lot of waste there, unfortunately.
Yeah, there sure is. All right, I just wanted to throw that out to you. We're going to segue now to one of my favorite subjects, because John has also written a book called The Roswell Conspiracy. It's not what you think it is. I love this book. I want to let you guys know also that we were talking about, you know, John does counsel. He's a university professor at University of Utah, and also he teaches classes to young adults on financial literacy, getting your act together. And I think that this ties in with what we were talking about in terms of the technology. You know, people don't realize how much technology has affected our lives, and especially the young folks out there who are just Twittering and you know, Facebooking and everything. There's texting and the email applications and online and everything that's going. I mean, the Big Brother is here. We're supposed to be having, the ID cards now with the little implants.
1984
in them.
There has
you go.
Finally arrived.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. People are fighting against it, but this is a Democratic proposal, by the way. And we're going to be the fingerprints, some kind of identification biologically is going to be in there. We're going to be tracked where we go. It's kind of scary, actually. We can be tracked where we're at right now from a satellite. You and I sitting here in this beautiful Los Angeles studio.
So be careful what you say. Somebody might be listening in on us.
That's right. Which reminds me, it's not what you think it is. Let's talk. What got you interested? UFO phenomenon, alien contact phenomenon. Where did this come from?
It's interesting. As a quick aside and a transition, if you will, I was teaching high school in Salt Lake City 3 or 4 years ago, teaching the financial literacy class, I was giving a final exam. In the second period I had done it, people had taken it the previous period, and we allowed the kids to have their cell phones.
Right.
They couldn't use them, obviously, during class, but they were allowed to have their cell phones with them for security and everything. And I looked over, and I saw a cell phone vibrating, and I saw a young man quickly look at it and make some notes. And I realized very quickly he was texting back and forth with somebody who had taken the test
in the previous class,
saying, what's the answer to number 20, et cetera, like that. I excused myself, went to the office, and said, you've got Ted's phone number. I want you to text Ted and tell him he's flunking the test. And I went back, and pretty soon the phone vibrated again, and Ted looked down at it, and his jaw dropped, and they discovered that Uncle John, as I was known as the teacher, was hip to texting.
And cheating in class.
But heretofore, none of the other teachers were, and the young adults, these seniors, had realized they had a way of communicating unto themselves with texting. Yeah. And, of course, this has gone beyond it now to where you can't get a young person to look at you in the eyes while you're having dinner because they're busy texting their friends who are probably in the other room for that matter.
Exactly.
Anyway, with the advent of all of this technology and the apparent dependence on this technology growing to the point even my partner who lives with her BlackBerry.
Yes.
And there are times when I can't get eye contact with
exactly.
her.
Exactly. Right.
And is after me to get one, and I told her, I said, no. I said, I've got a little device here that reminds me of my name and when to take my pills. I call it an elderberry, and that's as far as I'm going with technology. But seriously, my partner and I, years ago, this started with the millennium bug, the turn of the century. I did lecturing on that, telling people how to prepare for the advent of their computers going down because of the possibility of the millennium bug. And I found a book by a Colonel Corso who had written a book purporting that he was the liaison between the federal government and the major corporations such as General Dynamics, General Electric, and others in retro-engineering the technology from the Roswell flying saucer. Now, here is a military man.
The real guy.
With
the real deal.
Saying,
not nuts.
Saying,
He's not nuts.
We have the flying saucer and possibly others. We have the technology from it. We're figuring out how it works and feeding it back into society. Oh, and when you think about it, at the end of World War II, we barely were getting into computer technology.
Right.
The UNIVAC, which filled an entire building
spit
out punch cards, was as far as we'd come.
That's right. The dot matrix. Yeah, exactly.
Where did the personal computer come from?
Right.
Nobody foresaw that. No visionaries. You know, they saw us as the Jetsons with jet backpacks and all of this stuff.
Yes.
Nobody saw the advent of the personal computer or the downsizing of this technology. My golly, you look at early Star Treks and their tricorder device, it looks like a brick compared to what we have in our hands. So the immediacy and the rush of all of this new technology that we are experiencing today, with all the good it does, we become very dependent upon it. And occasionally there's a breach in service, such as the BlackBerry shutting down, cell phones, et cetera.
Yes.
So the question is, what would happen if we actually lost all of this? So
right,
my partner
and
I surmised, well, Roswell, flying saucer technology, maybe the aliens will take it back because we've been naughty. We're not, we're not growing as a peaceful, benevolent society, a humanity here. And that was the premise for our story. The story is basically the attempt to appease an alien culture who is about to render our technology benign, communications, computer-driven, because everything is computer-controlled now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, so that they can succeed in time with the caveat that the world has to learn to become one brotherhood and get along. Otherwise, we're not going to have the benefit of this. That's the quick log line. A succinct review of the storyline. But the story is an adventure. The story is an Indiana Jones with a computer in his hand, if you will.
Exactly.
And it's a novel. It's a screenplay. Then we retro-engineered that back into a novel to enhance the appeal. It's done very well at the Roswell gift store, of course, and online. And we're about to now publish the hard copy with some reviews we have. Lionsgate Films is looking at the screenplay.
Oh,
this is part of a trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is a prequel and a sequel that goes with this particular story that I won't elaborate on, but we're hoping that this is the next Star Wars for our benefit.
That's exciting. But it's also based on scientific fact. It's based on your research of reading about the technology that we acquired from Roswell or other, I'm sure other nations have
Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. Yeah. Who invented the personal computer? Is there a name attached to fiber optics? Is there a name? No.
You picture this little guy at Rand Corporation, a genius, sitting in a little office, or you picture these, these other people who are the technicians and, working away. There's like a huge gap between, right?
Now, whether it's that's true or false, it makes for a wonderful premise for an adventure story.
Claiming
that there's conspiracy here, but other than the title of the book. But I did spend a lot of time at Roswell, New Mexico's UFO Museum, which is a wonderful research center as well for all of UFO alien-related conspiracies and stories and everything else. And between that, and in fact, I was at Roswell, New Mexico last July. July the 4th, coincidentally, is the day of the supposed Roswell flying saucer crash or incident in 1947. And every year they have a UFO festival.
Right.
During which they have a lot of fun with the whole thing, which is great. Yeah. But I was there and I spoke to a very large group of people interested in my book and others. And we talked about this dependency upon technology.
Yes.
What happened if, whether the aliens take it away or whether it crashes on its own or whatever, what happens to society? Mm-hmm. And that resonated so strongly with all of these people. I realized we're onto something with this fictitious story.
Right, right.
But there is a developing concern over how much technology we are dependent upon. And are we losing the ability to communicate in a human manner? Has technology surpassed humanity, as the Albert Einstein quote suggests?
Is there a lot of information scientifically that you have gotten your hands on in terms of finding out about certain, like you said, technological advances, but also materials that really we're not familiar with, or certain kinds of, what polymers or certain kinds of what I'm talking about,
exactly.
some kind of electronic equipment or some kind of wear-resistant that we have acquired. I mean, I know you've done a lot of reading on this.
The conspiracy theories that abound include that the Roswell flying saucer, there were supposedly two. One disintegrated, the other one they found intact with little green men.
Yes.
The whole story on that.
They were grazed.
And others that have been found, other extraterrestrial vehicles, have all been shipped from... first of all, from the Air Force Base in Ohio to finally Area 51.
Right, right.
And I've been to Area 51, which is an experience.
I bet.
And that there they are trying to retro-engineer and analyze all of this, including the composite material that makes up these vehicles. There are great stories about people who have visited there, who have been allowed to see some of this, who are now talking about it. A good example is the symbiotic man and machine the combination of organic and mechanic, the ability, and this is where they think that possibly space aliens have been able to bring space vehicles
here. Yes, they're manifesting
that have no
travel
control.
Through their
they're
thoughts.
A solid state. They can't figure out how they fly. They don't use fuel. There's just this solid state thing that appears to glow when you touch it that is beyond our comprehension. It's called symbiotic. We've taken it as far as fighter pilots.
Right.
With their helmets, by turning their head and steer the guns,
by
nodding their head can fire the gun.
Right.
We are approaching the use of symbiotic technology,
yes,
but not near to the point.
Exactly.
And we know that for a vehicle to come here from another planet, another galaxy, obviously is not using any kind of fuel that we're familiar with.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're looking towards what is possible.
Yeah. How can we connect the cortex, the thoughts, the neurons within the cortex, which give commands to actually move material objects? I mean, that's basically the symbiotic concept. And also, we're doing a lot of that. We've been doing it. The Russians have been doing the remote viewing that's been going on as well. And they're a lot more advanced than we all know about and think we are. Remote viewing is locating and finding, they used it for spies.
Yeah.
They used it for, government.
We have a generation that has forgotten the Russians were in space first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, we recall Uri Geller and his ability to bend spoons,
right.
And other examples like this. So we know the power is there. It's a question of how do we harness it?
Yeah, yeah, and it's not so, you know, and what we're finding out, even with the new AGs, you know, as we call them, you know, the law of attraction and what you can do anything, basically, and you create everything in your life with your thoughts and your mind.
Manifestation.
And, you know, a lot of, it's gotten a lot of flack from religious communities because, you know, God the Almighty is controlling all that. We are not. But, you know, that's sort of blending right now, too. And this is getting kind of off subject. But the symbiotic, you know, theory, I think, is really right on. And I think we, as the government, there's men in black, right? You think there's the men in black?
You know, it's interesting. Our government and others, factions of our government and others, if you will, have been incredibly successful in using disinformation. I think the movie Men in Black is an attempt at disinformation so that we would never believe there are any real Men in Black. And if I may digress, I have a theory.
Okay.
Somebody once presented to me. In fact, it came out of some of the research at the Roswell Museum. That in order to discredit all of the UFO sightings and the alien abductions and all of the possibly verifiable incidents that the government couldn't explain, they encouraged Hollywood to make these cheesy B-movies in the 50s, making the thought of aliens so ludicrous that we would never really entertain that they might walk among us as we speak.
I think it had.
I think Roger Corman got a subsidy from the government to start a whole film company to make nothing but ludicrous alien films so that we grew up thinking, well, that's silly. That couldn't possibly
I agree.
Work.
But I think it backfired on them because in the 50s is when all these people started really looking up and realizing and, of course, thinking they were seeing things. But, I mean, there was an incredible awareness because of, you know, those films bringing it to life. And they were ridiculous and they were silly and funny. But I think it really... really started to change. I mean, in ancient writings, you've been to ancient ruins.
Absolutely.
Teotihuacan. I was there a while back, and you know, the three pyramids and the carvings, of course, look like guys in spacesuits.
Yeah, the planes,
there's vehicles.
The planes in Peru that can only be seen from above by a culture that couldn't get there supposedly when they design what looks like a runway. There is so much tangible evidence. Without explanation of alien intervention here. In fact, our prequel deals with the beginning of time and alien intervention in our entire development as humans, which I won't elaborate on, but if the conspiracy becomes a movie, the prequel will follow.
No, that's good thinking. And I think all the skeptics out there in psychology, when you know we're taught to understand and identify pathology, much of which is hallucinations, whether they be visual, audible. You know, there's a lot of paranoia. Someone's telling me something. I hear something in my ear. And, you know, of course we're taught to identify, you know, the schizophrenic behaviors or, you know, any kind of psychosis going on. And I do and have worked in clinics with severe psychiatric people who say, you know, the little alien just told me that they're watching everybody here and we are actually all geniuses and this and that. And they have me going for a minute. They have me going for about 60 seconds. And I'm saying, oh, my goodness, because I have also, like you, John, done a lot of research on this. And I realize, wait a minute. These people are on antipsychotics and they're just getting stable. So stop a minute. But it's interesting because I had a many, you know, meetings, but I had a really great understanding. You know Stephen Jacobs, The Secret Life, the author of that book, The Secret Life.
I know of it. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I believe he's a historian author, and he basically interviewed and studied, researched over 400 people who were under hypnosis and had. You know, regression hypnosis, describing their incidents, much like the movie The Fourth Kind, that's become really popular. Anyway, so The Secret Life pointed this out. One of his advocates was the late psychiatrist Dr. Viscott, who worked on radio and television, but he actually, well-known author, he actually told me, even after working for years and years and years in psychiatric facilities and with folks who do have psychiatric disorders, they're real. He studied the research, worked with Stephen Jacobs, and he said, this is a real phenomenon. And I am in the community of identifying people who have psychosis, who have problems. So a lot of you skeptics out there who say, yeah, this is crazy. There are a lot of crazy people. John, you talked about going to the Roswell, welcome center, and you give lectures sometimes. You take your book. And there's a lot of those nuts, you know, that wear the costumes. They dress up and they're really into it because, you know, they just want to feel like they're special. There's a lot of those people, too. But, I mean, truly, I think there is a segment of this to take seriously. You know, put aside people with psychiatric disorders who were saying that aliens are talking to them and they heard the voice and this and that. Put aside the crazies who wear the uniforms and get into it because they need an identity for their self-esteem. There really is something to this.
When I spoke to people in Roswell, New Mexico, and hundreds of thousands of people come there every year just to be close to and to resonate with an area they think aliens may have been there. And we talked about the religious implications.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they're aliens, are they Christian? Are they another religion? Everything like that.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We came to the conclusion, my partner and I, in talking about all of this, not to offend anybody, but just to open everybody's mind, we decided that, okay, aliens may have come here from another planet, from another culture, from another belief system. Or maybe God sent us the aliens.
Uh-huh.
You take either one. I don't care, just as long as you go with this, that they walk among us.
That's right. I like that.
Maybe this is, however you perceive God to be, God's way of communicating with us, and we're missing the point.
That's right. Maybe it's another lesson we need to learn about humility.
Yes.
We are not the only planet with, conscious, intelligent life in the galaxy.
Absolutely.
In the universe.
Yeah.
It's like
somebody once said, if aliens are looking for intelligent life in the universe, they're not going to waste their time on the Earth too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, especially right now in our society. John, let's talk about some of the ways people can get in touch with you because we're running out of time here. What is your website so folks can check out your Media Blend Coaches company?
It is MediaBlendCoaches.com, and there's all of the information about who we are, who we work with, and what we do, including the Employee Financial Literacy, the boot camp is all up there, and all the research we've done on the need for financial literacy in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you're ever curious about our creative ideas, JD2 Cinematics, which is in honor of myself, John Darren, my partner, John Darrell, hence we became JD2, JD Squared,
cool
is
guy.
Our company.
Yep.
JD2 Cinematics has a list of all of our film and literary projects, including the Roswell there. And John and I each have our own portfolio of other things we're trying to develop. Digressing to the progression of careers, we found that we need this creative outlet as well as we need professional outlets.
Yes.
So we've just taken the area of communications that you and I and my partner have come out of and say, we can do other things besides talk on the radio. Not that that's not fun, but let's find ways to use our communication skills to help others.
Exactly.
So this
that's
is just an expansion of 40-odd years of collective experience and
and
development of skills.
You're great, John. I love talking to you. You're so well-read. You're a professor. University of Utah, you're an author. Check it out, The Roswell Conspiracy. It's not what you think it is. And it's a lot about, it is a novel, but it's based on fact. And it also, go ahead.
And perception of problems that technology overuse and dependency could bring. And again, the technology exceeding humanity in our society.
Exactly. It's a scary thought. And, with everything else going on, we don't want to stress people out, but we really have to think about these things as well.
I couldn't get my cell phone turned off 5 minutes ago.
I know.
All that ringing. It wouldn't let me turn it off.
You're a popular guy. Right. John, thank you so much for being my guest. Once again, John Darren, and head of Media Blend Coaches, media consultants, author, financial expert. It's Dr. Michelle. I sure enjoyed you being on the couch with me for this almost hour, as you always are on Friday about this time. You can download this show, by the way. You're on the air, on the webpage if you're listening to this. So just check it out. You can follow my links to my email address and my webpage as well. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, because you won't be any good for anybody else. You see what I'm saying? All right. Take good care. God bless. Bye-bye.